Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. Oh, it has been a second since we have last spoken. That's on me. I apologize, but we are back. I am so excited. You don't know how much I needed this. We have a ton to discuss. We got to discuss Amazing Race. We got to talk about the challenge finale and that reunion. We got to talk about the starts of things like American Ninja Warrior. And So You Think You Can Dance, and MasterChef that all started this week. We have to talk about Paradise Hotel because, I mean, I talk about it every second of every day because I love it so much. So much we need to discuss. But before we discuss anything further, I have to say hello and good evening to my co-host, and my producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on?
Hi, it's all going, that's for sure. Finally started getting my voice back, which was one of the reasons why we canceled for the last couple of weeks. And I had it on my list to do Paradise Hotel, and I still have not watched it yet. So I'm sure you have a few things to say about that.
I love it. I'm just going to go on the record to tell you right now that I love it. And I'm sad because the ratings have been terrible. And it's such a shame because it is very much like old school Bachelor in Paradise before it was like, you know, kind of winking and nodding and like a little bit gross. I don't love Bachelor in Paradise as much as I used to. But this is like very old school. And I love it. It's so good. And I know it's not going to come back. The ratings have been terrible, so much so that they stopped doing the live episodes. The Paradise Hotel was supposed to air three nights a week. They've condensed it. It's only airing once a week now. It's still finishing up its run because it's a situation where the contestants are live in the house as we speak. There was supposed to be a live element of it. They cut all that. Kristen Cavallari is still there, but has much more reduced role because it's only one night a week. And it will end when it's supposed to, but it's way less episodes than they originally anticipated, and that's a bummer. Fox doesn't do well with multi-day shows. Let's take Utopia as an example of that. I mean, they had big, big, big plans for Utopia, and we saw how that went. It started three nights, and then it went to one, and then it canceled after probably, I think, a month. It was a very short-lived show, and it was another situation where it was a live show with people living on a compound that all of a sudden they got a phone call one day, and they're like, peace out, the show's gone. So I love it, though. I love it. And everybody that I know who's watching it, they love it, too. It's such a good show. I'm so sad that people aren't finding it. I know it's just a weird time of year, and maybe there's a little bit of competition with The Bachelor. You know, maybe people can't watch one, can't watch both, then you're choosing one. But it's a shame because it was a really good remake. So hopefully at some point in some form in some way a couple of years from now they'll try it again and kind of mess with the formula a little bit again. I loved it, Priscilla. I'm just going to go out by saying I loved it. A perfect balance of drama without it being like gross. There's villains, but the villains aren't, you know, terrible human beings. They're villains. And you kind of want them to, you want to see what they're going to do. And it's more than a dating show because there's a, people win money. So there's been some interesting strategy that happens as part of it. And I'm a little bummed out because you can tell that because of the condensed show, they're throwing a couple of, like, you know, people are coming in and people are leaving and everything's happening relatively quickly. But also, like, you know, you can tell that they're throwing some, like, weird, like, immunity idol type moves into the game that you're like, oh, I wish they could just, like, have some time and strategize. You know, there's one alliance that's great at, like, strategy and taking out people that they need to, and then a twist in the game will happen and they won't get their way, and that kind of sucks. But it's a great show, Priscilla. I wish you were watching it.
I still have every intention of catching up on it.
Good.
I was hoping it would have been by now, but it hasn't been, so. Shit's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's
kick my butt.
You'll have a lot less episodes to catch up on. Now that you only have to deal with one a week. So, and the finale I think is this upcoming Thursday. There's an episode tonight, which I wasn't able to watch, and then there'll be an episode next week, and I believe that's the finale. So, oh well, it's we try. I don't know if I'm happy living in a world where The Masked Singer is like the number one television show of the year, and we can't get it together for Paradise Hotel. But whatever, I'll take it, Priscilla. Whatever. Hey, a new show that also premiered last week on NBC, Sonland. Did you catch that one?
I watched the premiere, yes, with John Legend. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I watched that one too. So basically, there is three judges. Or not even judges, mentors, kind of like on The Voice, where they, it's Meghan Trainor, it's the guy from Ryan Todler, who's a big singer songwriter from One Republic, and who's the country guy? I forget
his
name, but he's a country singer songwriter. The three of them are mentors, and every week a special guest comes in, and they throw a challenge to aspiring songwriters. And so the first episode, John Legend was on, and he threw the challenge that whoever won, John Legend would sing their song. And so they had a couple people come in, pitch some songs. They took, you know, sang songs. They took the top three, and each person got a mentor to work with. They worked on their song, and then they presented it again to John, their refocused song with their mentor's help. And then John Legend chose a song that he was most interested in singing for an upcoming album. So that, I mean, you know, I think it's a really fun show. We like the singer-songwriter shows. I think this is an interesting way to do it. It's pretty, you know, the songwriters are also good singers on their own. So it was very interesting to see how all of them performed their songs. And, I mean, that to me was fun, too, watching them perform. I also like the fact that the mentors got really involved in this because it was like a win for them too. So it reminded me of like old school Voice where the mentors were like really in it to win it. That's kind of what the show feels like to me. And I liked it. I'm going to continue to watch it. Priscilla, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll catch a couple more shows. I think it could get more boring. Kind of, it's like that one of those shows that is going to be like the same thing regurgitated, just a different group of people doing the same thing. I think it could get boring, so I hope that they kind of put a little bit of a spin on it.
Well, I think you got to hope that each week that the person that is ordering the psalm, the special guest, is going to be cool and different, and that the psalms, you know, you're going in for the psalms. I mean, that's what it's there for. You're trying to find the best psalm. And so I don't necessarily know if it's going to get boring, but I think it completely depends on the quality of songwriter that they find.
Well, and I don't know. I think maybe the time I would rather see them kick around more of actually trying to come up with a song instead of the condensed version. The condensed version doesn't really get. I don't know how I'm going to say this. You know, if you're trying to write a poem or you're writing something for school or you're trying to write a letter somewhere, you know, when you sit down, you put the thought into how you do it. Sometimes the way that those thoughts come through are better than just the condensed version of the end product. Does that make sense?
And no, I completely agree.
I would absolutely want to see more of them bouncing back and forth. Not necessarily the mentor dictating the songwriter the changes, but them working together to make the changes as a collaboration kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather support that than them singing the song originally.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I agree with you that, you know, the aspiring songwriters, definitely you could tell that they were starstruck by the mentors that they got. So I feel like they were in situations where any sort of help or any suggestion that the mentor gave, they were going to automatically take because, you know, that's where they were. I agree with you on that. Maybe this show, just as a format, would have been better off kind of like elimination style. You start out with 10 songwriters, and every week there's a songwriting challenge. And you do it
right, kind
of that way, very similar to the Bravo, the Jewel and Kara DeRogatis, what's her last name? But, you know, American Idol. Show that they had on Bravo a couple of years ago, which you and I both enjoyed. We've talked about this. You know, maybe instead of having 4 or 5 people, new people each week as a way to both get to know people's personalities, but also have them feel more comfortable with their mentors, because maybe after a couple weeks of songwriting with their mentors, they would push back a little bit. So
right.
that's an interesting thought.
Because, I mean, like, if it was my song and it, I mean, the one that won did make a lot of changes. But if it was my song and it was dear to my heart, I could take constructive criticism, but because I'm on a show, do I want to change that which came from my heart? I can take, you know, it's like being a mentor is one thing, but I want to see more collaboration as dictatorship on it. You know what I mean? And that's what I see more of. Granted, you know, John just said, this is what, for me, what I need. Totally get that. He's the one singing the song and he's got a style to protect. But when the mentors are coming in and the changes, like even just the last day, even making a change, I'm changing the name of the title of the song. You know, it didn't come across to me as though it was really a joint decision. It was like, I like this idea better. Okay, what do you think? Like you just said, if you didn't have that relationship of a few weeks under your belt, you know, where you could bark back and say, no, this is why I want it this way kind of thing. To speak up for yourself in your song, and the development of it, and it doesn't have to be a different song every week. It could be the same song every week, and how it progresses through each collaboration kind of thing. You know, I would be
yeah.
doing that too. I just think that
yeah.
to hold my interest more long term.
Yeah. It's an interesting notion, and I agree with you. I think the formatting could lend itself well to more of an elimination style show where you're getting to know people. You're absolutely right. The psalm that John Legend ultimately chose, the psalm that originally started was way different than the psalm that she presented. And, you know, how much of it was hers and how much of it was her mentors, it was mostly the mentors.
Correct.
So, but in general, I'm in.
For like a season two, I think they're going to have to make tweaks.
I agree. I mean, hopefully it gets to season two. We're being presumptuous that it will, but so far I think the ratings were fairly solid and it's a pretty decent, like, this time of year show. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens with it, but I like it. And as we talk about all the time, you know, anyone trying something new for reality TV, that works for us. We're happy with that.
Speaking of new shows, which actually isn't a new show, but it's coming back, I actually just seen a flyer on casting for the USA version of Biggest Loser. So
yes,
it for sure is coming. And also, I'd like to send a condolences to Daniel Wright's family and friends, because he did pass away this last week. He was on season 7 of The Biggest Loser, and he married Rebecca off of that season. So he's a 2-year battle, I believe, with leukemia. So
yes, absolutely. We definitely send our condolences to his family. USA is going to bring it back. So I've seen some stuff. Hey, another show that they're bringing back, MTV is bringing back The Real World. It's officially happening on Facebook, which is a weird thing to me. I really don't understand. You know, MTV has shows like Ridiculousness and How Far Is Tattoo Far? And it has plenty of room in its schedule for Real World to be air on MTV, yet it's airing on Facebook. So we'll see how that goes. It's an interesting experiment. I stopped watching Real World several seasons before it stopped airing on MTV. It just needed a little bit of a jolt for me. You know, the casting was not as strong as it could be, and there was a lot going on with that. But, I can't imagine it being on a Facebook Watch, which is what it's going to be on. So that will be interesting. That is coming up relatively soon.
Take away the part about voting people out. It just is going to be Big Brother live feed.
Yeah, we'll see. It's all in the casting. Hey, do you want to say anything about Big Brother since we're on the subject?
Well, I don't know. Are the rumors true, or what do we know? The newest rumor that I seen was, who was it? Devin and somebody. I can't believe that they would really go with a Devin and somebody. The other team, though, that I did see, oh, my God, this was just last night. I can't remember. I'm getting that old.
Let's back up for a second. So there's been a lot more talking about.
I just thought we were on the phone again talking. I apologize, people.
So let's back up for a second. You forgot that we're doing a podcast right now.
Back, Exactly.
So let's back up for a second. There's been a lot of wild internet rumors this past week about Big Brother. And you know we love a Big Brother rumor. We are closer than we think. We actually, when we were not on a podcast off air, we actually did have a conversation where finals are coming up most likely this week, because they'll be going into the house. So finals will start happening next week. They'll be going into the house a week after, because they usually go into the house a week after the show starts, or the week before the show starts. And the show starts on June 25th. So we are 19 days away, 2.5 weeks away from Big Brother, which, you know, every year I say to myself, you're going to get excited again about the show. More times than not, it's going to disappoint you. But then every year, I see the calendar and I get excited. I'm very excited about this. So there were rumors that it was going to be a half newbie, half veteran season. Which, okay, my thoughts on that are, they did something very similar on the Canadian version of Big Brother a couple seasons ago. They picked really great veterans in terms of, people, huge fan favorites. And unfortunately, they chose returning or newbies that were just had no idea what was happening, had never seen the show before. And that was not a great, if they paired them up with people who like truly understood the show, it would have been huge. A veteran ended up winning, a guy named Kevin. But we've seen a premise like this before. We've obviously also seen it in Survivor as well, where they've had half and half seasons. I'm not mad at a half and half season. The closest thing we've seen that in Big Brother was 13, Big Brother 13, the one that's the season that Rachel Riley won. Shout out to Amazing Race current season Rachel Riley. She won that one. It wasn't quite half and half. There were 6 returning players and 10 newbies. So the newbies outnumbered the veterans, but a veteran ended up winning, Rachel. I'm not mad at a half and half, because at least it's better than one veteran or 4 veterans. I would prefer 0 veterans or all veterans, but what are you going to do? Sometimes you don't always get what you want. But then we heard some rumors that, not only was it going to be half and half, but it was also going to be pairs, teams, if you will, a la Big Brother 9, which, you know, if you're a Big Brother fan, you know how wonderfully Big Brother 9 went. It's everybody's favorite season. Everybody talks about it all the time. And who won that season, Priscilla? The guy who ended up going to jail right after he won Big Brother for a drug ring. Adam.
And too, that went season that went to jail as well.
Say that again.
I said, and there was another cast member from that same season that was tied to that jail and had to go to jail as well.
Maddie, yes. Big Brother 9. You know, everybody talks about Big Brother 9 as being one of the best seasons of Big Brother all the time. No. Actually, I'm lying to you on this podcast. Everyone universally hates Big Brother 9 the most. So the pairs idea was the last time they did it was a Big Brother. It was on Big Brother 9. It didn't go over super well. And so I hate this idea. I don't like a pairs thing. And now I've heard some additional rumors that might not be true. Priscilla, what's the latest? What have you heard?
I heard that the 2 fell through because for contract negotiations. But the 2 that I heard that were confirmed as contracts being signed, of course, were Tangela And I don't know what they call in Haley and Faze, I call him Floozy, but Fazy or whatever in the hell his name is, are confirmed. And then the four newbies, they say, that are confirmed. And out of the newbies, they say three were recruits, one actually interviewed in the correct manner, or the manner that I feel they should be picked from. That means they want to be there, right? What was it? A gay couple. One was in his 50s and the other was in his 20s or something like that. And a divorced couple of with kids that are in their 50s. Actually, a lot of them were in the higher age range of the ones that I was seeing. But I'm not holding much stock in this rumor because they have always been wrong. Just saying.
So I absolutely don't think this rumor. They're not even the final stage yet to know who's going in. I just don't think so. I would be super, super, super sad if both Tangela and Haley and Fessy were in the house, just because it's four people from the same season. I understand that they didn't previously work together, but that doesn't mean that they – I don't love it when there's a dominant group from the one season. Look to Big Brother 7 All-Stars for that, when we had a ton of people from Big Brother 6. Yes, it ultimately didn't make a huge difference, but I just don't love it when there's just all these people from one season and they can be a block. So – yeah, I'm really hoping that none of this is true. I don't like the idea of pairs. I don't like the idea of returning players. And I certainly don't like the idea of Haley and Fessy and Tyler and Angela. We talked about Haley a lot last season. We both thought she was someone that we would love to see come back in like 5 to 10 years. A little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit more grown up.
Definitely not with him.
Well, definitely not with him, but also like a little bit more mature. We thought that she had some really great game bones, but you know, she was 21, she was young, and you know, what she would be like at 30. You know what I mean? Like, it would be, I think that she would be a much stronger player. So seeing her, if she came back only a year later at 22, I don't think we're going to see a ton of gameplay. Fessy, we've seen everything we're ever going to see from Fessy. He's, you know, he was a terrible player. I don't think a year is going to change anything with how terrible he is. And Tyler and Angela, I mean, you know, Tyler is a great player. But I don't need to see him again. I don't think that he was someone that I – now, I'm sure I'm in the minority of this. There were tons of people that absolutely loved them last year. And, of course, kind of like Paul, he's – you know, everybody thinks he was robbed. You know, that's why we got Paul for a second two back-to-back seasons, because everybody thought that Paul was robbed the first time when Josh won. And then Paul ended up losing again to Nicole. But this time, no, opposite, sorry. First he lost to Nicole, then he lost to Josh. But, you know, people, I'm sure people think that Tyler got a raw deal last year and should have won against Casey. I disagree with that, so take that for what it is. But I don't need to see them again. I really don't. So, it's going to be a long summer for me if this is the case, but I have faith that it's not. We've heard lots of rumors. We always hear lots of things happening in Big Brother, and especially this time of year, and very little of it is actually true.
I'm beginning to believe that Big Brother actually puts these bogus rumors out for the hype and to throw people way off. I think they finally learned how to play the Big Brother game.
I agree. I definitely think they are people that would absolutely put out a bunch of rumors just to get everybody talking. So we'll see what happens. But until I have reason to be worried, I'm excited. Until I have reason to be worried.
Right.
I'll be excited. So we'll wait and see. Just a couple more weeks. 19 days. Oh my gosh. All right. I need opinions here. You can hit us up on Twitter, Reality Alley. I'm at Reality Alley, Reality Allie. Priscilla is at Psilla. Of course, I will have feeds. Of course, we will have a chat room called The Edge of Reality. And I want you guys to come in and hang out with us and talk some Big Brother this season. I would love for that to happen. So we'll set that up. But do you think I would be very lame, Priscilla, if the night after Feeds premiere, because Feeds usually premiere at like midnight on like, so what, the premiere is the 25th, right? And then I think it's a two-nighter, so it's the 25th, the 26th, and then the Feeds come in like midnight East Coast time on the 26th, right? Sounds about right?
I believe so. I actually just see the schedule on that, but I didn't pay much attention to it. I know it's a two-night premiere.
So usually at the midnight of the second night is when we start getting feeds. I should take off the next day from work, right? That should happen.
Well, that's the old days. We can now go back and rewatch everything that we think we need to see.
I'm saying that
if you want to go back old school, yeah.
Are you saying that I shouldn't take off a day from work?
Well, I know you have a ton of time gathered, so I'd say, yeah, I think you would enjoy that.
All right. That's the correct answer.
Because you never
answer.
Take vacations, yeah. So you need to do that.
Yeah. All right. That's the correct answer. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. You're right. We can rewatch things. We can go back. That's like my favorite thing. Shout out to the people who give me times. I love it. Please do so on Twitter. Would give me times of when something's happening in the house so I can go back and watch it. That's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, because the highlights that they put on the feeds for you to go back and watch usually aren't the correct time, and they're not really anything you want to see anyway.
Correct.
The good stuff they put on the highlights. So,
correct.
Yeah, definitely quite a highlight to us. And anyways, the two-night premiere is Tuesday, Wednesday, the 25th, 26th at 8 Eastern. And then no episode on Thursday, and then Sunday, Wednesday, Thursdays then from that on.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm excited. But, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully all these rumors, I'll wait and see. I'm not even cautiously optimistic yet. I'm just straight up optimistic.
And the feeds may not come on until 1 a.m., depending on what time it airs, East or West Coast time. So probably not till 1.
Oh.
That's my guess.
Yeah. So,
well,
hopefully.
No. Because if it airs, let's see, it airs at 8 o'clock our time. They're 3 hours behind us, right?
Yeah, so it should air by midnight.
It would be midnight until, okay. Yeah, you should be good.
Yeah.
We're getting this all dialed in now. We got to get it figured out, people.
That's right. That's why we listen to the podcast for great kind of figuring out when we're going to watch feeds. All right. So I want to discuss challenge. Speaking of Big Brother contestants, we, Davon and Josh and Morgan, were at the challenge reunion. Davon especially made quite a name for herself on the challenge reunion, which we'll get to. But we didn't get a chance to talk about the 2-part finale on the challenge. And I've wanted to discuss this for so long. I loved this finale. I loved it. I thought it was so good, Priscilla.
It was by far the most challenging challenge final ever.
It was definitely the most challenging, almost a little too nuts. I don't need to see people suffer. I don't like it when people drop out, but I do like an endurance challenge, and I like it when they're hard. And I feel like the past few seasons we have gotten kind of a modified version of a final. And, sometimes like even playing like the little carnival games or, you know, standing in the line all night and stuff like that, that I haven't really, you know, it's been fine, but I love this as just a straight out final, you know, you have to make this work. And I was all for this. It felt great. I was like, why does this feel like it's kind of repetitive? And I just thought maybe it was the scenery, because it was just so much sand. You just didn't know, like you couldn't orientate yourself to where anything was. So I was like, it's just sand. I don't know if they're coming, going, how much further they have. I don't know what's going on, but we saw 8 people. It started with 8 people, 3 vets and 5 rookies. And, you know, I can't remember the last time we saw so many rookies in a final. I don't think it's ever happened. So that in itself was an interesting idea of these 5 people doing this for the first time. Usually it takes rookies a season or two to get this under their belt. And the fact that so many of them were doing this was huge. Georgia and Maddie, they were gone. They didn't last past the first day. I don't think that they should be ashamed of themselves. I think they did the best they could in this situation. And now they know. Georgia, I think, put it best where she said, all right, now that I know what this is, I need to go back. I need to like get trained. I need to get in shape and I need to do this again. So,
right.
You know, I didn't think of it as a quit. I mean, Georgia like literally passed out and didn't know where the hell she was. Maddie kind of, and what did you think of TJ's, you got to stop smoking, lecture to Maddie when she quit?
She won't quit. She didn't. Okay, I'm going to tell you something about Maddie from where I watched her on her show. She has a big heart, has a good person, until she starts drinking. And she has all the right intentions, but she continues to make bad choices. Even though she don't want to make bad choices, she does. She consciously knows this. She's constantly trying to work on it. We give her the girl a little bit of alcohol, and she's done. And one thing that she swore she would never do before is quit smoking. I don't see her doing it. She's a very strong-willed person, and that's one of her vices. She's not giving it up.
You know, it's interesting because I knew that you watched Maddie on this Party Down South show. I have never heard of the show. I've never heard of the show before, Maddie. And I thought of it as like a Jersey Shore or a Floribama Shore or a, what's the other one? Redneck Island, right?
Close enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Yeah, I think it was it. Redneck Island.
Okay. All right. So one of those type shows. And I didn't put a lot of stock in her. And Maddie was the rookie that surprised me the most this season. I mean, I would watch her on another season in a heartbeat. I just thought she just surprised me. I loved her. I thought she was so good on this season. I really thought she was going to kind of be a train wreck, and she did.
She is.
That was not her.
If they ever show her, she's a train wreck.
But she, I mean, she wasn't a train wreck on her first season of this show.
They didn't show her drinking either.
Well, right. But MTV is not afraid to show a drunk person. So
right.
My take on it is I don't think she got to that point.
Correct. But she is a sloppy drunk, and she does know she needs to stop drinking. And if she does that, then yeah, she's a beast. Whatever she does, she puts her whole heart into it. And she has no problem telling you how she feels. She has no problem telling you her thoughts. She doesn't hold anything back. She is a no-nonsense kind of person. She's perfect for the challenge. Well, but
yeah,
I'm going to tell you, you're going to see a totally different side to her if they show her drinking when she gets into one of her, they actually, the other show, I can't remember what was her name. When she would drink, they actually had a name for her where her second personality came out. And they had a name for it. I can't think of it right now. And it was so true. So true.
Well, but you keep on saying if they show her drinking. If she was crazy, they would have shown it. So she either didn't drink on the challenge or she kept it at bay. Because if she was drinking to that extent, they would show it. They would show it. So,
sure.
You know, I think that she, you know, had herself together, that she kept her composure, which is perfect. I mean, and we need more female beasts like that because we're kind of losing them. We're losing them. I mean, Cara Maria is, you know, she's been on a lot of challenges at this point. And she's not my favorite contestant at this point. I could live without seeing Cara Maria for a while. You know, I love Jenna so much, but ever since Jenna broke her ankle, she's just not the same competitor anymore, which sucks, but it's true. So we need some tough women back in the game here. And so seeing like Georgia go as far as she did, Maddie going as far as she did, you know, I think that's the Georgia and Maddie, I believe we will see again. I don't think that this is their last challenge. Okay. Let's talk about, let's just discuss the IVs. Getting the IVs between day one and day two. I thought I was actually thrilled for them because I was a little nervous. I was like, okay, if too many people go out, and I'm sure they thought this through. That's why we had started with eight people. You know, if too many people go out, it's going to make for a very boring second day. And then we had the IVs. And we had Cara Maria lose her mind over the IVs. I don't know how I feel about this. A lot of people saw on Twitter say, well, but you have tattoos. What, you know, you can't, you know, are you afraid of a needle? I understand it's in two different contexts, an IV versus a tattoo needle or whatever. I want to say that Cara is a very interesting character. I almost want to say that she was so dehydrated that she was acting irrationally. I don't know if she was like all together, she would have acted in the same way. As much as I don't want to give Cara the benefit of the doubt, it was just a very weird reaction to that.
I would lead to say that is actually the true her, because they even Pauly tried to cover for her at the reunion about it, about like giving blood before the show or whatever. So no, she's still covering her with the same angle that she don't like needles and shots and stuff like that. But she's also an athlete and she knows better. She knows that she needed that.
Well, I understand. I think that she hates needles. I think that's true. I don't think she's totally fine with them and she just decided to freak out. I think she's very scared of them. But I think I was surprised at how, I mean, she needed that. To have an IV is a game changer. And to go without it, I mean, I thought she was going to be left for dead. The fact that she did as well as she did for the rest of the challenge, I was surprised. I mean, and she didn't do incredibly well, but I just thought she's going to be out of it. She's going to be completely out of it. But, you know, I just thought, wow, that sucks. What a shame. Like, that was such a weird thing to do. And I'm glad some people, I heard a lot of kind of pushback on, oh, why did they get IVs? I think that was the right thing to do. I kind of like Survivor, where I don't really need to see people like starve to death in order to get my enjoyment of the show. I don't need to see people like be dehydrated and like pass out to get my enjoyment of the show. I want people to be able to finish it. What did you think about having a challenge, a tribunal in the middle of the final?
I don't think it was necessary, and I don't think that it drew what they thought out of it for the show. I don't think it was necessary.
I thought it was interesting because I do like the idea of people being disqualified at certain points of the final. I do, you know, I liked looking ahead to day two. I liked the idea that there was, you know, Cara Maria ended up on the island by herself because she was the last person to get the lock done. You know, I like that idea of like you have to be in a certain position and if you're last, you're done. So I thought that was interesting. The tribunal where people were voting, I didn't love that. I wish it was kind of like the last person who was on the mat on day one is eliminated or something like that if they really wanted to do that. I didn't quite – this might sound stupid, but I didn't quite get the challenge. They were literally just handcuffed to a monster truck, and they just had to walk until they couldn't walk anymore. Was that literally what it was?
That's literally what it was.
Okay. I was like, am I missing something? I kept on with Natalie and Hunter. I was like, is there something else that happens, or are they just handcuffed to a truck and they walk until somebody can't walk anymore? I mean, we saw Hunter giving up early in the season. Hunter was not in the right headspace. The fact that Hunter dropped so quickly, was sad because it was very anticlimactic. But I can't imagine a situation where there were two people that really wanted to be there. They would have been walking for hours and hours. I thought that would have been insane. That's why I thought there's got to be something more to this. Maybe the truck goes faster as the hours progress. I don't know. But I was like, I am missing something in this tribunal. Something is not making sense to me. But apparently I wasn't missing something. That was what it was.
Right.
So Hunter essentially quits. I'm very frustrated by Hunter because I was not a big fan of his. And then he kind of grew on me a little bit. And I like him best when he's away from Corey and, because I don't like him and Corey together. I liked him last year. I thought he was a sympathetic character, especially after Ashley with the money situation. But I just want to address, he keeps on saying, and he said it in the finale, that Ashley stole his money. Ashley did not steal his money. Ashley took the money because she won the competition and she chose to keep it all for herself, but she didn't steal it. It was part of the game. So he's so in his head about it being stolen, and people keep talking about how it was stolen. It wasn't stolen. It just was part of the game. It sucks, and it was, you know, hard to see, and it sucks for him, but it was a part of the game that MTV allowed, and he just, it wasn't stolen from him. He could have won that, and he could have kept it for himself. We talked a lot about this last season. We both kind of agreed that we felt Hunter would share it. The more I see of him, the more I'm like, maybe he wouldn't have shared it after all. I also was so glad in general that we didn't have another scenario like that this year. I was so glad that we were doing individual winners, because I didn't want to see another pair make a decision. I don't think we're ever going to see a decision where they split the money. I believe that if it's a situation where one person is going to take home all the money, they're going to take it home at this point. I believe that's just the way it is. We saw Johnny Bananas do it. We saw Ashley do it. I just don't think we're going to see a scenario where someone's like, oh, okay, I'll split the money with you. I don't think it's going to happen. So I was so glad that we weren't even going to be in that situation, that we were going to be playing as individuals. I was down for that. But Hunter, I know he'll be back on another challenge because that's how it works. But I just think at this point, where he is now mentally, he's like a wasted character. I just don't think he's at a place where he needs to be. He needs to either, you know, get over it or kind of regroup, maybe take a season or two off, and then maybe come back when he's like ready to do this again. So that's my take on Hunter. Natalie, of course, we don't talk about Natalie being a tough rookie, and she's, again, a very strong woman, a super tough rookie. I'm okay if I never see Natalie again. As much as I want to see strong women, I'm okay if I never see her again. Yeah, I don't think she brought, and it's more than just her kind of breakdown with Turbo, because I understand that, you know, everybody yells, and I just don't think she brings a ton to the table. And she was on a show previously, American Ninja Warrior, where it's less about personality and more about the physical competition part of it. So, you know, I can understand where she was at a disadvantage of showing different aspects of her personality, but I could go without seeing her. I can go without seeing her. Although, if we cut to the finale, when Turbo's winning and the other three are going into the helicopter and she's the only one left standing, that felt a little rough. I didn't love that. I felt a little sad for her in that moment, Priscilla.
Right. No, I mean, she's a good competitor. And for this particular finale, she was perfect for it. And as you can see, she's the only female that made it there. So, I mean, you got to give her kudos for that. But you're right. For social game, she needs – I mean, I guess I went my senior back again to see if she could improve upon the social part of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I could – if she came back on, I wouldn't be like, oh, damn, it's Natalie. But if I mean, even the body language at the reunion, like there are people like sitting kind of far away from her. I just don't think that she made a great impression. So, you know, if she comes back, I won't be like terribly disappointed. But if she doesn't come back, I'll be fine with that as well. I'll be fine with that as well. I totally thought the helicopter thing. Maybe they thought there would be more than one person left standing at the end. But the fact that it was her, the fact that it was a woman and all these dudes were jumping into a helicopter and taking off and they all won money and she's the only one that didn't. I don't know. What do you think about the idea of if you finish, you get some sort of money?
That for the particular challenge they did this time, I would think that would be absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I'm not everybody, you know, everybody should get a participation trophy. Everybody should get something. But this was one hell of a final. And I feel like if you could make it, like maybe there's a pool of money and however many people make it, you know, the first place gets this, but then, you know, there's like a pool and you split it amongst the people that, you know, however many people made it. So just to have something, because she did a really great job, especially for how grueling that final was. I only have a couple minutes left. Jeez, I have so much to talk about still. We'll definitely save the reunion for next week because I have a lot to say about the reunion. Turbo, winner. He won? He's a beast. My question to you is Turbo too good for this game? Is he someone that, I mean, everyone loves him. He's a beast in challenges. Do you feel like he's someone that could be taken down? Is he too good for the challenge?
Okay, I didn't think that he had a shot in hell. Do you know when I changed my mind on that? When they showed him eating in the morning, like before everybody was awake, he practiced eating, and then he jumped on a treadmill to train eating with or running with the full stomach. This is when I knew that his mindset was in a totally different place, and that at that point in time, I knew he could go the distance, because that's the first time, other than like with Johnny Bananas' little head game shit that he always pulls, that's the first time that I've ever seen anybody actually. Kind of like, you know, in Big Brother, when you see somebody do a transition, but they lose a ton of weight while they're in the house, they start exercising, eating better, maybe not necessarily eating better, but at least exercising every day because they're so bored, that's all they have to do. And you see that transformation. This is kind of how where I've seen it with Turbo. I've seen him, you know, go through, and then also when he kind of formed a bond with Polly and like getting to the end and how loyal he was. At that time, I knew he was a
Yeah, I loved that scene with him eating a bunch of stuff and then running on a treadmill. I thought that was great. He has every positive attribute. He didn't make any enemies. People want to work with him. He's a competitive beast. And it's going to take a lot to take him out, but he is like the breakout star of the challenge. So we are going to see him for the next several years, I am sure of it. And it will be interesting to see how people handle him going forward, because I'm sure people do not want to be in a final with him. So there's going to have to be a lot of strategy to get this guy out. And
it's going to be very interesting to see the dynamics with Bananas knowing the competition and Bananas trying to twist the situation and how Turbo is going to react to that. That might be a storyline the next time that we like.
You're right.
See.
You're right. Absolutely. So we're going to go. because we have just a few seconds left. But in the few seconds we have left, I want to ask you this, Priscilla. What do you think, yes or no, do you think we ever see Bananas in a finale, in a final, in a challenge again?
No, because people, no is your answer. Because
yeah,
people don't give a shit about him no more. People aren't intimidated by him no more. People aren't afraid to take him out. The challenge, since they started bringing international players and other shows in the picture, they could give two shits about his hierarchy that he has in his head, that of how the game used to be played. So no,
yeah,
he doesn't make the final again.
No, I completely agree. My answer was going to be no as well. I don't, not only do I think he doesn't make a final again, I don't think he ever gets to a second half of a game again. I just think that his reputation precedes him. I think he has no friends left in this game.
Right.
You know, Zach, I mean, Leroy is his only friend left in the game at this point. And he had the opportunity to make some new alliance members with this new crop of people, because none of them knew him and it didn't happen. And so I just think that it's not going to happen. And that's going to be sad to see, because, you know, I don't know how many seasons Johnny will be able to handle of, you know.
Opportunity to go out when he was on top, like I told you about 3 or 4 years ago.
Right. Agreed.
And he should.
Agreed. And I feel, and for the record, I feel the same way about CT. I mean, I, as much as I love CT, we're never going to see CT in a final again. And I don't think we're ever going to see CT past the halfway mark of a season again. And so, you know, it's sad to see, to the point where we didn't even see CT at the reunion. He was such a non-entity this season that we didn't even see him in the reunion.
He won't be back. I don't think he'll be back anymore.
I hope that's not true, but at the same time, if it is true, I get it. Maybe there's a way that he can come back, at, like in a you know, a guest host capacity or something, just to say like a proper goodbye. I would hate for his last season to be this season, because it was like just such a terrible season for him, but I just don't see it getting any better. So I'm torn with that, but I don't see that tide has officially turned. I don't see them making a final. I don't see that happening. I could even say that I'm going to go out on the limb and say I'm happy that Wes got money this time around, because I don't think we're going to see Wes in a final again. I think people are going to be smarter about getting Wes out sooner. So I think that tide has officially turned, and we are definitely in the era of the new player. So, next week we'll talk the reunion, because a lot came out during the reunion that I wanted to discuss with you. We will talk Amazing Race, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it this week, but we've just had a billion non-eliminations. That's basically what we've missed. That's pretty much all of the players are still there except for Brittany and Janelle, which I'm bummed out about because I love them. And the rest were just non-eliminations. What are you going to do? And, you know, we'll talk some of that, and we'll go from there. All right. You can always follow us on Twitter at Reality Alley and at Priscilla. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.